Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, lifting up this time, lifting up your glorious faith, Lord God, that you've given unto us. The grace that so abounds in you is shed abroad for all to proceed. We just thank you, Lord God. I give you glory, honor, and praise, and I worship you right now in my heart, Lord God, as I start to teach His word. Lord, I ask that in the name of Jesus, that you would just bless, Lord God, us and use me to teach as I decrease, increase in me to make sure that we teach what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, we love you, we thank you. Amen. We are in Proverbs chapter 29, starting at verse 1. Proverbs 29, verse 1. And I want to remind everybody that as we're going through these Proverbs, you must remember that the Proverbs gives short little messages that convey spiritual and moral truths. It's almost like a parable, but just shorter than a parable. It conveys spiritual and moral truth. And so, truth about us. And so when it speaks about one thing, it often gives the contrary of what that one thing means from a spiritual point of view. So here we go. 29:1. He that being often reproved hardens his neck, suddenly shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So he that often gets reproved, sooner or later he's going to get hardened. He's going to get, his neck is going to get hardened, and he's going to get stiff-necked. Once you get stiff-necked, you can't receive anything. Your ears, once you focused in on a point, you cannot get the things that you need to get. You cannot receive the things you need to receive. Even their truths, you will ignore them because you just got your back up against the wall and you don't want to hear anything from anybody. That's what stiff-necked is, or that's what hardened his neck, because he stiffens his neck and he looks straight forward and he takes his focus and put it on something else. He may be focusing on the dot on the wall, but because he focuses on the dot on the wall, he's not hearing anything else that's going on. He's definitely not focusing on the conversation. So it says, he that being often reproved, not by God, or it could be by God through people, or it could be through circumstances. Any which way reproof comes, it could be he that often gets reproof. He hardens his neck. He gets stiff-necked. It says, shall suddenly be destroyed. His destruction is going to come on him suddenly. And he'll be living, but it's going to be no remedy for him. He will not be able to be fixed. Now, a lot of people equate this to sinners. I'm more equated to Christians. How do you rebuke a sinner and rebuke a sinner over and over again if he doesn't understand that he's being rebuked? He has no opportunity. He has no knowledge of getting saved because he does not know the one that saved him. But a person that knows and chooses to do differently. That's the question. That's the question. And the destruction that comes on that person is going to be without remedy. In other words, when they start to go down, they're just going to go down. 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 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So when the righteous are in authority, the people, they have a good time. Because right things are being done. Their God is being glorified. Things are happening. Even though it may look bad, things are happening for the better for the long haul. See? But when the wicked bears rule, the people mourn. I'm not going to go there, but when the wicked bears rule, when the wicked are in charge, people mourn. It says 3, whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. So he, whoever he is that loveth his father, and it says his father, so it's speaking about him, loveth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Why? Because you're keeping company with people who are after one thing, your money. They're only after what they can get for you, from you. They're not after what you have that can help you in the long run. They just want what they can get from you. So they spend your substance. You spend your substance on them. But if you love your father, if you love wisdom, you will rejoice over your father. Not just your physical father, but your heavenly father, most definitely. And you will consider his word more than that of a harlot. For the king by judgment established the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. So the king by judgment, he establishes a land. When you make a judgment call, then you make a decree. Once you make a decree, that is an establishment of the way things should go, the way things should operate in the land. Then people know what to do and people know what not to do. But he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. So if you're the king and you're receiving gifts from a foreign country, and because you're receiving gifts, you're overthrowing the rule. You're overthrowing the law. You're going to do for other people because they blessed you with something instead of doing what you know is right in the land. Mm. See? When a king makes judgments and judgment calls, when the authority, the king in this place is the authority, when the authority, even over his house, makes a judgment call that's going to be best for the house in the long run, everybody may not understand it, but we got to tighten up our belt and we got to make this money work. This is how much we got to make work per month. But we making this. Why can't we spend that? Because if we don't have a plan to get out of here, then we will never get out of here. You got to save. You got to sacrifice to make the move. See? People don't understand that. So that is good judgment. But by many gifts, he could change his mind. And that's going to overthrow the plan. 5. A man that flatters his neighbor spreading a net for his feet. That's kind of simple. A man that goes out his way to flatter somebody. Don't flatter people. Don't flatter people. If you see them doing good, encourage them. Encouragement is different than flattery. When you flatter somebody, you're stroking their ego. Do not ego stroke. Because when you stroke somebody's ego, when you flatter your neighbor, you're spreading a net for his feet. Sooner or later, he's going to be trapped by the things you said. If he steps into your understanding of who he is, he's going to be trapped by the things he said. See, we got to get over the flattery. People love to be pat on the back. People love to be flattered. People love to be this, that, and the other. Instead of loving the truth, they want the flattery. Flattery replaces truth. Encouragement will encourage you in a bad situation and help you to do better. Encouragement will push you to become a better you. Encouragement is for you. It is not against you. Flattery is against you. And that spreads a net before the feet of the individual who's receiving. 6. In the transgressions of an evil man, there is a snare. But the righteous doth sing and rejoice. So God made a difference between the transgressor. And he called that man evil. So in the transgressions, in the breaking of the law of an evil man, that means that man knows the law and he breaks it anyway. There's a snare. He sets a trap for himself. He sets a trap for himself. But the righteous does sing and rejoice. The righteous don't have time to be dealing with traps. They're too busy singing and rejoicing, knowing that the Lord is going to take care of all the traps that come against them. The scripture says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen. 7. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. So the righteous considers the whole plight, the whole situation of the poor. And because they are in consideration of that, they may go out of their way to help. They may go out of their way to do. But the wicked regardeth not to know it. The wicked act like they don't even know that the poor got a problem. They just ignore the whole situation. Oh, I see them, but I ignore them. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to give them nothing. I don't want to help them. I don't want to do anything for them. I don't want to feed them. I don't want to do this. I got mine, you get yours. That's what the wicked does to the poor. Just totally ignore them. 8. Scornful men bring the city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. So scornful men, mockery, men that mock people, they bring a city to a snare. They put the city in a trap. But wise men turn away wrath. Wise men are smart enough to speak a word that will turn away the evil that's coming on a city as a result of someone mocking and trapping people. When people mock you, it is a trap. When people scorn you, it is a trap. You've got to be able to see the trap to get out of it. 9. If a wise man contendeth with the foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there's no rest. So if you are in contending, like contention, going back and forth, like some sparring partner, fighting or arguing with a foolish man, whether he rage or whether he laugh, he's not going to give you no rest. Why are you entreating a conversation and spending your good words on somebody who does not even have the ability to receive them? He's a fool. And what does a fool do? A fool acts like a fool. So don't follow the fool. 10. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. So the bloodthirsty hate the upright. People that are after blood, they hate people for being right. Right. Why? Because people that are right cherish the blood of another person. They honor the blood. They understand through the word of God that the life is in the blood. They honor lives. See? But people who are bloodthirsty, in other words, they're hungry for blood, they hate the upright because they are the total opposite of someone that is trying to stand right. It says, but the just, the righteous, seek his soul. 11. A fool uttereth his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. So a fool don't even know the understanding and will speak his whole mind. And that's why he is a fool. He'll take two pieces of a conversation and start running his mouth kind of froward when they do that. I didn't say forward. I said froward. F-R-O word. Which is just altogether foolish. Just the whole conversation is foolish. But a wise man will keep it there till afterwards. He'll keep his thoughts and then keep his understanding until the fool has made a fool out of himself. Then he tells the fool how foolish he is by just simply speaking the truth of what he was trying to say from the beginning. 12. If a ruler hearken to lies, all the servants are wicked. So if one that is in authority, one that is in charge, if he yields towards lies, then everybody that's under him is wicked. Because the servant follows the master. If the master is following foolishness and lies, then guess what? Everybody's wicked. Mm-hmm. The whole church is wicked. Mm-hmm. When the pastor follows lies, when the pastor follows gossip, when the fat pastor does not follow the word of God, the whole church is wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lightening both their eyes. So the poor and the deceitful man, they come together and they meet together. See, they both come into the house of God, but the Lord lightened both their eyes. It doesn't matter if they are poor. It doesn't matter if they are deceitful. It doesn't matter if they are liars. It doesn't matter if they're thieves. It doesn't matter. When they come to meet the Lord, they come into the meeting place together, the Lord is going to lighten their eyes. Either he's going to draw them to him, or they're going to be drawn far away from him. Either which way, they had their encounter. 14. The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. So the king, the authority that faithfully judges the poor, faithfully deals with the poor, faithfully helps deal with the plight of the poor, he establishes himself. He establishes his position. He establishes his authority forever. Forever. The rod, 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringing his mother to shame. You cannot leave a child to themselves to discover their own devices. It never works. It never works. They're going to always turn on you, and they're always going to bring you to shame because you have not taught them nothing. They're just doing what's naturally out of them. When a child needs to be raised, a child needs to have rules. A child needs to have regulations. A child needs to do that until they are grown. Why? Because if they don't do that, then when they get grown, what they going to follow? Anybody that tells them anything, they're doing it. People who don't have rules and regulations in their lives, they go to jail. People who don't follow the things, the rules and the regulations that are set up in the house, they steal. People that don't follow, these are the things they do. When they get out of their parents' house, when they move on with their life, they become the most self-righteous, obnoxious, no good people in the world. They become very evil. That's why you have to teach children. The Bible says, raise up a child in the way that they should go. That's why you have to teach them. Even though they don't like it, you still got to tell them the truth. You still got to teach them the truth. Because it's going to be better for them when they get older. 16. The wicked are multiplied. Transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. So the wicked is multiplied. The breaking of God's law, transgressions is increasing. But the righteous, those who follow God's law, shall see their fall as an example to them. This is what happens when you break God's way. 17. Correction thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yay. Excuse me. Correct thy son. I'm messing with Jeremiah. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. So if you correct thy son, if you correct thy daughter, if you correct them when they're kids, they're going to be a blessing to you. They don't like you. He shall give thee rest. He's going to give you peace if you correct him. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. He'll be a blessing to you. Have you ever seen kids who are not a blessing to their parents? Every time you look behind it, it's because they weren't corrected. Mm-hmm. Only when the parent felt like, oh, you went too far, then I'm going to correct you. No, but what happened to sitting down and telling the child, listen, this is wrong. Don't do this. Before it comes to the place where you got to whip their butt. What's wrong with telling them so that they can learn right from wrong on their own? Then guess what? Then you won't have to get to the place where you got to get them. And the sad part about it is when they grow up, then oftentimes the police have got to get them. Mm-hmm. Either they will yield to what you're saying in your house, or guess what's happening? The police, and this is the postures with their hands held up over their head while they're looking down the barrel of a gun while the police is taking them off. Because they had no correction. Correct your child. Correct your children. Correct your sons. I'm in 18. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where the people cannot see out from among their circumstances, guess what they do? They die. You got to give your family a vision. You got to, men have got to put a vision down in their sons. Mothers have got to put a vision down in their daughters. Because just because you start in a certain place don't mean you got to stay here. The man that will flip hamburgers at Wendy's today can own Wendy's tomorrow if he has a vision.
That's right.
It says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. his life shall be happy because he keeps the law. 19. A servant will, and I'm not talking about the law of Moses, I'm talking about the law of God, his precepts. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. So a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Why? Because he's a servant. He doesn't feel it's his place to answer the master. The servant will not be corrected by your words. See? He won't. If you're yelling at him, you're complaining at him, and you're fussing at him, he won't. When you sit him down and have a conversation with him, then he'll get to understand. Why? Because how can he respond? If he feels what you're telling him is wrong and you're the boss, then what is he supposed to tell the boss? He's wrong? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So you got to always, as an authority, you always got to put yourself in a position where you can talk to the servant, where they have a voice. See, you don't let them disrespect you, but you allow them to have a voice. Can you give me some water? 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than of him. So a man that is quick to speak. Have you ever opened up your mouth and just spoke things based upon what you just saw, what you just sensed, and then later on you regretted it? Why? Because you was hasty to speak. You need to be quiet, because a fool has more hope than a person that's quick to speak. The Bible says be quick to speak, slow to listen. Slow to wrath. 21. He that delicately bring up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. So he that delicately takes his servant and brings him up in a delicate manner like a child, he shall have him as a son. He's going to love on him like a son at the length, because he was considerate to him. He was delicate with him. An angry man stirred up strife, and a furious man abounded in transgression. So an angry man, he just stirs up mess just because he's angry. I'm pissed off, so I'm going to make the world pissed off. And a furious man abounded in transgression. A furious man, when he's furious, he has no guide. He breaks every law. He breaks every situation. He breaks every commandment. He breaks everything. He don't care, because he's furious now. First he started angry, but now he's furious. First he started stirring up stuff, now he's trying to tear down everything. Because he just don't care. That's what happens when a man's fury comes, when a man gets out of control. 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. A man's pride always brings him low. Some men don't know how to do certain things, but they are too prideful to admit, I don't know how to do it. So it brings you low. You don't get to do the things that you need. Why? It brings you low. Because you're too prideful. Get rid of that pride and say, you know what? I need some help. You'll be surprised. Then you'll learn something. Mm-hmm. Then you'll be able to teach somebody else.
Amen.
You have to be humble in spirit for that. Amen. Whoso, 24, whoso is partner with the thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursings and bewrayeth it not. So he hears cursings and bewray, which is like betray. He hears the cursings and he betrays it not. He betrays not the cursings. So he's a partner with the thief. He hears things that he ought not to hear, and he would not betray that which he was here. You know how people are now. You know, they got some kind of code. I ain't no snitch. And you go to jail and do time for somebody who is out there enjoying their lives, don't even care about you, has not even visited you, but just so you won't be a snitch. That's real foolish to me. You know, holding somebody's confidence for something that somebody's done good is right. Holding somebody's confidence because somebody is in danger, I even understand that. But just holding somebody's confidence just because, for the sake of you don't want to look bad, how stupid is that? Mm-hmm. Especially when they're wrong. Mm-hmm. At least go to them and tell them so that they'll know better. 25. The fear of a man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So the fear of man, the respect of a man, or the anger of a man, or the being afraid is what I'm looking for. The man, when he is afraid and caught up in fear, it brings a snare because it traps his own soul. You know, fear can paralyze. Mm-hmm. Fear can get you standing there where you won't even move. That's what happens. It says, whoso put his trust in the Lord shall be saved. You put your trust in the Lord, you'd be surprised how that fear just leaves. 26. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. So you can seek the ruler's favor all you want to, the authority. And you can get that favor where you can get away with some things for a while. But the Lord judges everybody. What you going to do then? Mm-hmm. 27. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, but he that is upright in his way, or in the way, is an abomination to the wicked. So just as an unjust man is an abomination to those who are doing right, see, so is those that are doing right an abomination to the wicked. And that's why they don't mix. If you're righteous, why are you hanging with the abominable? Are you following me? Unless you're trying to teach them the word of God, unless you're trying to teach them the word of God, then I can't see. I can't see you hanging with it. And it really, really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. If you're following the Lord, then your road is already settled. Your plight is already straight. Your direction is already given. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we thank you, we give you glory, honor, and praise. Amen and amen. We'll be right back.
tell me what you would do. Cause when it's time to get judged, see that's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors. And yet he forget you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus ain't no getting out though, you begging again at least. There is hope. Seven seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it before you come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last days.
He told, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Coming.